HarperCollins presents Cry Wolf by Hans Rosenfeld. Read by Sophia Engstrand. She lay on her side, held by moss and shrubs. Gnats buzzed around her head. Her breathing was laboured, and oblivion was only a few breaths away. One eye stared up at the sky, at wisps of clouds with edges glowing pink and orange. It was the warm time of year, when the sky never goes dark. She'd smelled the stench of infection for several days, but that wasn't going to kill her. Nor was it starvation, the hunger. She was full now, for the first time in a very long time. The wound refused to heal, no matter how much she tried to clean it. The pain and the warmth had spread up her leg. The pack had adapted to her pace. For a while, anyway. Three of her young left with the others, but the smallest stayed behind with her, doomed to destruction. She couldn't hunt anymore, and he'd never been taught. The young moose, who were easy prey in the light season, were unattainable for now. Even the small prey escaped her. Too early for berries, which, in an emergency, stave off the worst of the hunger. Yesterday they'd found some meat, partially hidden, with an odour that instinctively told her to flee, but it kept them going. Up on the cliffs at the forest edge they found more, much more, huge chunks more than they could eat. So she'd lingered on with her youngest until he slowed, whimpering, taking wobbly steps till finally he could no longer stand. She'd stayed with him until she was sure he was dead, then kept going. Not far. The cramping and trembling made that impossible. She collapsed in the moss, lying on her side, in the warmth, in the light, in the never-ending light. Chapter 1. Everything had gone according to plan. First, their arrival. Be the first in place. Park the Jeep and black Mercedes beside each other on a rutted clearing in the middle of the forest, used by lumber trucks and harvesters for loading and U-turns. Then position the coolers to face the narrow forest road they'd just come down. The ruts beneath them, the nocturnal birdsong around them. The only thing besides absolute silence until the sound of engines announced the arrival of the Finns. A Volvo XC90, also black, drove up. Vadim watched as Atyom and Mikhail took their weapons and left the Mercedes while he and Luba climbed out of their jeep. He liked Luba, thought she liked him too. They'd gone out for a beer together a few times, and when they asked her who she wanted to drive with, she'd chosen him. For a moment, he considered telling her to wait in the car, take cover. Say he had a premonition this might go wrong. But if he did that, what would they do afterwards? Run away together? Live happily ever after? That would be impossible once she knew what had happened. She'd never betray Valerie. She didn't like him that much, he was sure of it. So he said nothing. The Volvo stopped a few metres in front of them. The engine switched off, the doors opened, and four men stepped out. All of them armed, looked around suspiciously as they fanned out. Everything was still, the calm before the storm. The Finnish leader, a large man with a buzz cut and a tribal tattoo wrapped around one eye, nodded to the smallest of the four Finns, who holstered his gun, walked behind the Volvo, and opened the trunk. Vadim also backed up a few steps to unlock his jeep's trunk. So far, everything was going according to their plan. Time for his plan. A bullet from a rifle with a silencer on it entered just beneath the eye of the large Finn closest to the car. The sudden explosion of bone, blood, and brain matter as the projectile made its way through the back of his head made the others react instinctively. Everyone started shooting at the same time. Everyone except Vadim, who threw himself behind the shelter of the jeep. The man with the tattoo on his face roared loudly, hugged his trigger, and immediately took down Mikhail with four or five shots to the chest.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?